This is the beginning of the second tape with Dorothy Darcy Goldrick, July 17th, 1987. Go on.
I was going to tell you, some years ago, there was a notice in the paper that a nurse, a matron, was wanted for Sausage Island Hospital. This is about, I don't know, must have been about in the 30s. And I wanted to go there because I can do it, you see. And I'd been there before, and I thought probably as they'd wanted me back that they might go for it. But my husband, because he wasn't very well, but he could have been out and looking after boats and things. He loved that sort of thing. But he wouldn't hear of it, you know, and I could have been over there for years already. Mm. It was the idea of my wife shall not work sort of idea, which was ridiculous.
It was fairly prevalent at the time, though, wasn't it? That even if you'd been allowed to work when you were married, probably a lot of the husbands wouldn't have gone.
No.
I also think that with the workload you had, if you'd worked too many years at it, it would have been exhausting.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you, though, that, we won't go into Fanning Island, but there was an emergency operation in Fanning Island.
This is in the South Pacific, isn't
it? Yeah.
Okay.
And because I'd been a nurse, of course, they called on me. There was a doctor there. And so I hung all the sheets and things out in the hot sun, ironed them, made all the dressings. Well, there wasn't anything because all you could do is to tear a piece of gauze off because there were no dressings. And so we did this operation. Very hot night, of course, and ether and chloroform and stuff. And I had gloves. I generally took a very small glove. I had gloves that were about 8, and I took a 6.5 or something. And so we managed, and two of the men, there was no retractor, they'd all rusted or something. So two of the men, one of them held one side and one the other, you know, to there. And there was a chap who didn't know anything about giving anesthetics, was giving it. And I stood there and the doctor said, see if he's still breathing, sort of business. And I'd look at this man and put my hand on his chest. Yes, he was okay. And it was just a riot, the whole thing.
Were you frightened?
No, not the least. I can still take an appendix out today, I'm sure.
Did you have to do that?
No.
But you assisted.
I could have. Yeah.
You could have.
Today, I remember exactly how to do it. But anyway, so the cable boys were very interested in this, you see. And there was a bench outside this room.
Open, the Pacific Cable.
The whole thing was open, you see. Bench outside, and they placed themselves on this, looking over the top. And we were busy around, and I looked up once in a while. I thought it was funny. I thought there were about 6 fellows there. They nearly all fainted and couldn't stand it anymore. And Chuck Fraser, who was head of one of the departments there, nice old chap, wasn't so old either, but he'd sort of supported them down when they couldn't stand it any longer. But the smell, you see, of this anesthetic and everything, with the lamps and things, was quite overpowering, really.
I would think so.
But I put a white tie around my head, and there was a white uniform that I had, and I put that on, all fresh and everything. And it was so primitive, really, that I had a pair of sterile scissors, and as they wanted pieces of gauze to mop up, I cut the piece off, gave it to them.
You boil everything to sterilize it? Would that be...
Well, this was sterilized, but I put things in the oven and did all sorts of things like that. So it was all, so it all ended very happily. He got better after about 2 or 3 days.
You said earlier that you administered anesthetic.
Oh, yeah.
Now, was that usual for a nurse? Was that a part of a nurse's job?
That time. Well, if there was nobody else, you did.
And what did you do? How did you do it?
You started on with a mask over a little chloroform to start them off, and then put ether on.
Dropped it on?
Yeah, and watched the, you know, how the pulse was and everything like that.
And how?
So none of this contraptions in the operation.
How did you keep from breathing it in yourself?
You couldn't altogether. You did breathe some bit in.
Did you get sleepy?
No, I don't think so, because you were too alert, wondering if it was going all right. But I've given a lot of maternity patients and other patients anesthetic.
Ether.
And a little chloroform to begin. Sure.
Start them out, and they must have been very sick after.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they generally came out saying things they had no business to say. And there was one little nurse in Vernon, dear little person she was, and she had to have, I think, appendix or something. And when she came out, she kept saying, "Goddamn son of a bitch," and all that sort of thing. And she never said, she must have thought of it, never said it before in her life. And we told her afterwards, and she was so horrified. "I didn't," she said. But you know, people always, after anesthetic in those days, nearly always came out saying things.
That's why people have that myth about it now, because people worry about that.
Now. Yeah.
I guess that's why.
Yeah.
Must have been quite entertaining at times.
Oh, it was, yeah. But at one time, I remember, in Port Alberni, a Swedish chap came in, being found in the cold, drunk, and very drunk. And so the doctor brought him in, and a man came with him too. And the doctor went to give him a hypo. And I was standing beside the bed, and he went, ooh, like that with his arm. Huge fellow it was, and knocked me right out over the next bed. I turned right over that next bed. So after, of course, they told him afterwards, he was horrified to think he'd done that. But you had some very funny things happen there. There was one man, he was a Pole, and he'd been beating his wife or something, but he'd broken his leg. And he came in the hospital there, and he wanted to sort of look at everybody, you know, like this and everything. And they were not supposed to have their beds moved. He'd moved his bed, or had his bed moved next to another one. But at night, when they were set up to go to bed, go to sleep, their beds were moved. You see, they had to go back where they were. So I came in this night, and his bed was next to the other one. They'd be playing cards or something. I've forgotten what his name was. But I said, I went to move his bed. I said, so-and-so, you're supposed to have your bed over here. I'll move it for you. You know, move this bed for me. Also, I'll throw this at you. And he had a big bottle of water there. And he held it like this. And I thought, well, if I let this go, it's just going to upset the whole ward.
So he was threatening you with
the
bottle.
He'd have thrown it. He was that kind. And so I just pulled myself together and marched down the ward. scared what was going to happen, and moved his bed. And he subsided, you see, but he hastened that effect. But anyway, I told the doctor next day, and he went out immediately, discharged him, because he wouldn't stand for that sort of thing.
So somebody was standing up for you. Was there a good relationship, basically, between the doctors and the nurses?
Oh, yes.
Cooperative?
Yeah. There were two doctors there. One was much cleverer than the other one. But the other one wanted me to go down to the drugstore. He had friends at the drugstore. And talk about all his operations and naming names and everything else. Yeah. He'd say, had Mrs. So-and-so in today, took out her uterus.
Yeah.
He was terrible. And he, of course, what the Australians say, skited about it, boasted about it. And really, he wasn't a good doctor at all.
Oh, dear.
No.
It's very awkward.
Mm. But the other one had trained at St. Bartholomew's or somewhere, and he was very good, very good. And he despised this other doctor. Mind they had to work together every once in a while, because it was an operation. One had to give the anesthetic while the other one was operating. So, there was a distinct feeling between the two of them. But of course, we nurses knew what we knew. We knew who was a better man, I mean, who was cleverer. You find out such funny things happen, don't they? Well, you wouldn't see it so much, but in those days, you certainly did.
It sounds like there are a lot of things that have changed, but a lot of the spirit of it has stayed the same.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you very much. Do you have anything special that you want to add?
No, I don't think so.
Well, thank you very much. It's very, very interesting.
Well, it's been a very checkered career.